Bring her out.
Bring out the word.
I can keep going if you want.
Then bring everything to all the ring it out. There we go. And good evening, everyone. And you know, we were ringing. I love it when we just get right in there. That last song is ringing it out, and it just sounds like there's about 780 people in this room. And we know it's not 780 people, but we like to make people think it's 780 people. People flock to a crowd. So we like to sound like a crowd when we're in here in the evenings. And certainly did, I believe, tonight. We talked a little bit this morning. We talked about snatching folks out of the fire. I thought that was I love that that passage that led up to that, which was Jude 23. And you know, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to snatch folks out of the fire. And that's just every Sunday. Every Sunday, every day that we meet anybody anywhere that'll listen to us for any amount of time, we're trying to snatch them out of the fire. We're trying to talk to them about Christ. We're trying to talk to them about the Lord. We're just, you know, even if it's only, you know, I think that the oldest thing we used to knock on the doors was, "Do you know the Lord?" And then we can go from there. We ask them, "Do you know the Lord?" And then they'll tell you, "I'm good." And we'll say, "Okay." And then we'll leave them alone. But we said, "Do you know the Lord?" Because chances are, as I always say, I believe they already know the Lord. So that's an interesting thing that a lot of people know the Lord but won't say they know the Lord because, as I say, because they've been influenced by somebody who tells them that there's a better way. Well, they need to sing Ring It Out. They need to read the Bible. There is no better way. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to go a different way. Jude 23, in Jude 23 says, "And some of have compassion, making a difference." Now that's 22. And 23 says, "And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." So pulling them out of the fire. That was the title of the lesson this morning. It's pulling them out of the fire. And a lot of times we go into the fire just to pull them out. And a lot of times, you know, it's themselves who generally keep us locked into the fire. So that's kind of interesting. And this morning we finished off at Jude 23. And this evening we're going to be a little bit in Revelation. I like Revelation. I'm starting to understand it a little bit more. But when read in the book of Revelation, it talks about the lake of fire. And I think when you talk about the lake of fire, people get a little, you know, because they don't believe that there's an actual lake of fire. But the whole theme of what I'm trying to say is going to come. But I'm going to tell you now, you know, we can make a lake of fire. We go down to the gas station and get about 4 or 5 5-gallon cans of kerosene and dig a hole. We can make a lake of fire. Might not be a deep lake. We probably all end up in jail, but it'll be a lake of fire. And the only purpose that our lake of fire will do, other than the real lake of fire, is you won't be there forever. You just burn up, or you can actually, if we won't be dig a deep hole, you can jump up and run out. But it's just, I don't think people understand that you can. There's a lake of fire. We live on the Pacific Rim. There's a lake of fire under our feet. We talked a little bit about in class. We talked a little bit about, there's a lake of fire under our feet. We're in that lake of fire coming all the way up the coast. I think there was an earthquake in San Jose a few weeks back. We're over a lake of fire. We're over a sea of lava. It's on tectonic plates. The plates move. The lava shoots up. Folks, the next level is a lake of fire. But people don't seem to get there's a lake of fire. Sorry about that. But people don't want to seem to understand that there is a lake of fire. So, So I wanted to try to set it up, and because I wanted to make a point, and I pray that I'm going to make the point. So this evening, I'm going to take you back. I'm going to take you back to 1985. I'm going to take you back to the Old West. I know the Old West was in 1985. But you know what I'm going to take you back to 1985, back to the Old West. And right in that part of the, I'm not sure if the beginning of the gold rush or when it was full throttle and men had began to use huge hydraulic pumps to get the gold rather than digging in the ground, the big wigs had. And Clint Eastwood, an actor, played an unnamed writer from where no one really knew. The writer appeared out of nowhere as a young woman in the movie, quoted at least part of Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation 6, 8, this is what she was reading from a Bible in the movie. She says, "I looked and behold an ashen horse, and the one who sat on him had the name Death, and Hades following with him." Authority was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and famine and plague and by wild animals of the earth. And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was Death, and hell followed with him, is the King James Version. I was using the NSB. I had to switch to the King James Version because it has more emphasis. He was on a pale horse and hell followed with him. And I don't know if you saw that movie. It's been out since 1985. It's been on quite a number of times. I'm not going to get into the detail of it, but Clint was, he actually played a minister. I don't know if he was one in real life, but his cover was a minister. And certainly he bought a, of course he's Clint Eastwood in a Western, come on. He bought it with him. So, but that is an actual verse of the Bible. Like I said, in the NSB says, NSB says what? It says an ashen horse, but an ashen horse is actually a pale horse. And so Revelation 19:11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress and the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God." That gets your attention. That gets your attention. We're talking about a sign. That would be a sign. But we want to make sure that when you, if you get to see that, yeah, you're probably, it's a good chance you don't want to see that. Now when I think about that, as he treads the wine press, I know you remember the song, "His Truth Keeps Marching On." You know, "My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vengeance where the great wrath is stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword." Well, some lady sat down and wrote all that. And from that wine, it comes from that verse. And she sat down and wrote this. And I think they said in the history of it that her husband was actually a Democrat. And she wrote it anyway. Now, they didn't say what happened to her or what happened to him, but she actually wrote it anyway. The terrible swift sword, I call it the Abraham Lincoln song, but it's actually called the Battle Hymn of the Republic. He is what? He is sounding forth the trumpet that shall call retreat. He sifts out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift my soul to answer him. Be jubilant my feet. That's what we tell people every Sunday. We tell them, you need to get up and come on. You need to get up and come on. And you need to be swift, and you need to save your soul. You need to answer the call. Because when the trumpet sounds, it's too late. When the trumpet sounds, it's too late. And I'm not exactly preaching to the choir because you all understand this, but that's your testimony. That's the thing that you tell people when they talk to you or you talk to them or however that works. They got to move. They got to have some sort of purpose. Brother Ray said it this morning. You got to not just say, I need to come to Christ. You need to act like you need to come to Christ. You need to move like you need to come to Christ. See, one of the things about coming to Christ is it don't hurt. It don't hurt. And there are verses, and I can't get them in my head right now because I got 5 or 6 things going on, and y'all know I'm slow. But he says that if something happens to you while you're on his watch, he says, I got your back. And the most fearful thing is if it's a painful thing, you have to go through a little pain first. But that's no comparison to the pain that you're going to go through in the lake of fire. And that's all we try to tell people. We tell them, believe there's a lake of fire. The whole reason I made this up was because you can actually create a lake of fire. And you can play in it if you want to. And I'll be glad to come by and watch you for a while. I don't think anybody that actually would do that, jump in, would stay there very long. If you do, I won't be there very long because that's going to be kind of scary. But that's what I'm saying. You can have that experience. But nobody wants that experience because they rather believe it doesn't exist. I think Brother Carey was saying this morning in the passage from Jude that it was something more prophetic or something more spiritual. That's a lake of fire. That's a lake of fire. So be jubilant, my feet. Again, you know, when I think a lot of us, well, I think some of us think about Abraham Lincoln, but think about this. This is just a little history behind the song. On June 8, 1968, at the 21-car funeral train bearing the body of assassinated U.S. Senator Robert F. Kennedy from New York to Washington crept through Baltimore, a lone mourner in the crowd slowly singing, "My eyes have seen the glory." They sang it at the funeral of Winston Churchill in 1965 and at the Washington National Cathedral after the terrorist attack of 2001. And Martin Luther King's last public address, that famous "I've been to the mountaintop" speech, and the night before he was assassinated, ended with, "My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." See, so it seems to be, it's like a song that they used to sing and we used to sing when we felt like our backs were against the wall. And he said, we didn't get to that part that'll tell you his truth keeps marching on. We knew that there was something else out there. Martin Luther King said it. He said, "I may not get there with you." But he said, "I've been there to the mountaintop." So, see, we need to have that kind of a mindset that no matter what you do to me, we've been there. We need to tell people, you need to come to Christ. You need to have a heart towards God. You need to stop believing people who are telling you, we talked about it this morning, "I'm looking for a sign," and we spent 5, 6, 7, good 10 minutes talking about what a rainbow is made of. Well, a rainbow is made of what God said. It's a bow I put in the sky so to let you know I won't flood the earth anymore. He didn't talk about what it was made of and how much the glass hit the wash or the apex of this or that and the light and the color. And he said, "I put it in the sky." And it's in the sky every time. And it's the same sign, and it's a new rainbow. So it's a sign. But then they want to break it down and make it scientific. And then so people back off. But it's a sign. So I do like that song because it seems like, you know, when it's time to beef ourselves up, that we're saying, okay, you got our backs against the wall. We can all come together and saying what? "My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." That means there's very little you can do to me that makes me that afraid that I'm still not going to hold on to God. So that's the possibility of a testimony. This isn't all of you. It's Miss Angel. And she'll get it or she won't, but I'm glad you came. Because, see, she needs to get that heart towards mine to say, I want to be a part of that group. And every time she walks in the door, because I'm glad to see her. I'm glad to see her. But I stopped mugging her when she came in, because I used to just grab her and say, hey, I'm going to, and I tell myself, calm down, you know, because I'm a little taller than she is, and I didn't want to, you know, get in the headlock. But I try. I'm glad to see her, and all of my hope is that everything that we do now is on all of us. Imposes upon her to say, I want to be a part of that group. Because when you're a part of this group right here, you're a part of the body of Christ. And as I said, he says, if anything happens to you on my watch, when you're doing whatever you're doing for me, I got your back. His truth keeps marching on. So we're going to go back to Revelation. When I got all that information about the song and all the stuff to do, and I had to bring it to you. This is just a historical thing there. I love history. Doesn't mean I know any. I just like it. Revelation 19:20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and with he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that had worshipped his image. These were both cast alive into a lake, wait for it, of fire burning with brimstone. You know, in the old days, somebody remind me to pick that thing up. In the old days, when a preacher would get up there, I think I talked about it before, and they would start going on and on about and they were talking, and just like right now, you can't understand a word I'm saying. I got it directly from them because you couldn't understand, but you know what they were telling you? Watch out for the lake of fire. They were saying, watch out for the lake of fire. And they tell you to pick up the Bible, and you pick up the Bible, and they were reading word for word scripture, and you still couldn't understand them. You had to go to the South for that. Boy, they preached for 2 hours and 15 minutes, and all you got was amen. And there'd be people in the crowd saying amen, and you know they didn't hear no more than you did. You just go home and read the Bible when they were done. Say, okay, you go home and read it. But that's what they always said it was, right? They said they were you're always preaching fire and brimstone. They were trying to snatch him out of the fire. We didn't understand it, but they were trying to snatch him out of the fire. That's why they were preaching fire and brimstone. Don't go to the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. We're trying to tell them. And the thing of it is, and I sat down and I studied this, and I just want to tell them, if you want to play in fire, you can play in fire. You can make a lake of fire. If you own your own land, you can make a lake of fire. You can make it. You can jump in it. You can see how long you can stay there. You can jump out. Hey, put it on Facebook. People will watch it. You probably get a lot of likes, especially if you don't make it out. I don't know if you'll see the likes, but you'll get a lot of likes. Put it on TikTok, and they will enjoy it. You lie, have 100 billion followers. I know because I watch TikTok or whatever it is. So they want to believe this same prophetic meaning. Perhaps has some prophetic meaning. Perhaps, but there is one thing I do know. As I said, anyone can create a lake of fire. Even at some of our homes, we have fire pits in our backyards, and almost everyone has a barbecue grill in which what we do what? We can create enough heat to cook raw meat to perfection. And so, look, this goes back a little bit, so don't hold it against me, okay? If you get drunk enough and put your hand on a grill, it takes a little bit longer for you to realize your hand is on a grill than any other time. Okay, I won't tell you how I know that, but it happens. You can know that. You'll know that the grill is hot. It just takes a little longer. Even in an inebriated state, you're going to know that grill is hot. It just may take you a little bit longer. But if you're not and you're cooking, you know to do what? Stay away from the grill. So, you know, we have that barbecue grill, and it knows it can cook the raw meat to perfection. Have any of us ever, just on a cool autumn night, we're talking about those barbecue pits in the backyard, set by a fire or by a fire pit. I think a lot of us like to go out and go camping. I love camping. I ain't going, but I love it. I watch it on TV all the time. I go to sleep sometime at night watching it on YouTube. That don't mean I'm going camping. If I do, it's going to be in a tank. So we're sitting in the backyard, or we're sitting out by the fire, and all of a sudden you sit there, and especially if you're in the direction that the wind is blowing and you're sitting on the other side of that fire, the wind where the wind was blowing the flame, and remember, you're getting warm and or so hot you have to move back a bit. And sometimes even away from the flame altogether. You have to go around and sit on the other side, because when that wind blows across that flame, you get to feel the force of that fire. It's not a hard thing to imagine what it would be like to spend all eternity in a lake of fire. But we can't convince them. But they can make a lake of fire. And some of us that are a little older, and that'll be me, towards the end, when I was a kid, when people still had those wood-burning stoves in their home. So some of us old people need salvation too. Because older people need salvation too. So I'm talking to them too. I don't know if they're watching, but I'm talking to them too, because some of them need to be saved as well. They still can be saved. Don't let nobody convince any of them that they can't be saved at their age. But older people will remember this a lot better. Kerosene stoves and wood stoves. A good kerosene stove, and especially a good wood stove, would chase you not only out of a room, excuse that of room thing, but there were times when it would chase you out of the house completely. You ever seen it when it's really cold and... All y'all from California, aren't you? Mm-hmm. when it's cold, when it's colder than 65 degrees. So when it's really cold and you got the wood stove in the living room, and all of a sudden the house is so hot that everybody's sitting out on the porch, and they're like, what? You know, what? Because you can't go in the house because it's too hot. There's so many signs of what it's like to be in a lake of fire. It gets me confused as to why no one will believe it. And we're trying to get them to believe it. We're going to go back to Revelation. Revelation 20 and 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. No place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, and when the book of life, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. We try to tell them this. We try to tell them this. And we go all the way back over to James, and we tell them what? That works without faith is dead. And Lord, hold me over, and I get to come before you. My next... the month of December is my faith month, and I'm going to be talking about faith of some sort each time that I get an opportunity to come before you. So, but they got to have faith to go along with the works. See, so now we're getting into the meat of it. You got to have faith. We talk about it all the time. We have a Wednesday night class, and we have a Friday night class. We try to put it all on Zoom. Sometimes I can't get it right, but most of the time we get it up there. Sister Chris joins us, and we get up there, and we talk about that. We talk about having faith. We talk about those type of things. We talk about being a disciple. We talk about all the things. We just want people to come to Christ. They'll get the rest. We put a challenge out there that says, take on the Holy Spirit. Take them on. See if you can walk away from them. You have to give yourself a really, really strong reason to walk away from the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? Even if I don't call you, he will. Hey, it's Sunday. What you doing? But then you'll be walking around the house talking to yourself. You know, people be looking outside your house, looking through the window, going, who is he talking to? He'll be talking to the Holy Spirit because he'll be telling you you're supposed to be worshiping. And you'll be, and people be looking like, that guy crazy. And if you're trying to get away from the Holy Spirit, you probably are. And they were judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast into where? Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. And that's all. We just don't want anybody cast into the lake of fire. That's the sole purpose for everybody in this room, is because we do not want... What did you say earlier this morning when we were talking? That the Jews said that some of us out there just don't want to see people cast into the lake of fire. Doesn't matter that I don't know you. Doesn't matter that you might have done something. But we don't want to see you cast into the lake of fire because what? We have faith. We have faith in the Bible. We have faith that what God said is true. We're talking about eternal in the morning. Eternity in fire. Come on. How eternity in fire? You know that we can, I guess that would be called inhumane, but we can stick you in a room full of fire and see how long you can last. But that's what I'm saying. It's so real that you can imagine it. It's not like eternity where you can't figure it out. In a lake of fire is a finite thing. You can physically see how we just want them in the book of life. And all we want that really is to care for you. All the people that you found, everybody that loves you, everybody that knows Christ that loves you, everybody that's wearing everybody in this room, every time you talk to somebody, a family member, every time you talk to somebody that gives you 5 minutes anywhere, you say, hey, I'm from the Church of Christ. And they sometimes look at you kind of weird, but you go, hey, I'm from the Church of Christ. So lady asked me one day, I was in the grocery store, and she couldn't reach something. I reached up there, and she said, well, thank you. Why'd you do that? I said, I'm from the Church of Christ. I'm supposed to help you. I said, there's a Church of Christ, and it wasn't even our Church of Christ. This is a Church of Christ right up there around the corner. I don't know where you live, but there's one around the corner if you want to go visit. So I'm go to the Church of Christ. Go somewhere and talk to somebody that's going to show you what's in the Bible so that you can save your soul, so you do not end up in the lake of fire. And so that's always my challenge to anyone who's listening or watching, or who may listen or watch it, is to grab hold of something hot. Not something warm. Not kind of hot. Something hot. And see how long you can hold on to it. Go to Hawaii. We talked about it this morning. Go to Kilauea when it's sprouting lava. See how close you can get. You'll know. See how long you can stand there. You'll know. We were talking about it this morning. I remember I was telling you about volcanists, people who study volcanoes, and they go through those lava fields, and they go past that point of no return, and all of a sudden the lava becomes active, and some of them don't make it out. That's the lake of fire. That stuff doesn't play. It doesn't play. I mean, if nothing else, you perish in the lake of fire. Even if you don't believe you can be kept forever in a lake of fire, but you're still going to perish. It's still going to be painful. And I always go back to it. It's not on the slide, but what? We talk about who? We talk about Lazarus and the rich man. When he says, I'm being tormented down here. And he said, what? He said, okay. Because that's where you got yourself. I can't get you out. He said, I can't even come down there and get you. And that was something nice for Abraham to say, because he probably was saying, I don't want to come down there. I done did too much not to go down there. But they said, you can't get down there anyway. It's not meant for you to come back. No matter how many movies you done seen. Even if you do like George Bailey. Here's some things, and this is going to be done, almost done. A few months ago on Twitter or Facebook, the strangest thing, ocean on fire. What happened? 5/10/2022, the weekend of July 4th, 2021, a burst 12-inch pipeline in the Gulf of Mexico owned by Pemex ignited an ocean fire. I had to put that there because you have to put it in your mind that the ocean was on fire. The ocean was on fire. Let that sink in. We can set the ocean on fire. Let me give it to you again. Burst pipeline causes bubbling, steaming eye of fire. Gulf of Mexico, July 6, 2021. A gas leak, this is the same one, west of the Yucatan Peninsula broke out of an underwater pipeline, causing bright flames to appear to boil up to the Gulf of Mexico. What happens when the ocean catches fire? July 4, 2022, the ocean surface was caused, open surface fire was caused by a ruptured underwater pipeline, according to the state oil company Pemex, which firefighting boats circled and tried to spray water in the ocean on fire. Folks, we can make a lake of fire. It's not impossible to imagine a lake of fire. We can imagine what it feels like to be in the middle of that. These are boats spraying the ocean on the ocean to put the ocean out. You can have a lake of fire. It's not a. It's not something that so many people say that there's a lot of things in the Bible you can't. You can imagine a lake of fire. You can imagine a lake of fire. Revelation 21 and verse 8. And it says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21 and 8. But the fearful, and I'm saying it again. I'm saying it again. And the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. No, I didn't make a mistake. I put it up there twice because I need people to understand. This is what the Bible say to all of these people. But there's something there. There's something there. We were talking about what lying does a few, it's a while back now. Remember I read the verse that was from a lesson that Brother Carey had done. His lesson was on lying as well. So what lying does and what liar and where liars go from this very verse. All liars should have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Verse 8, though, talks about who else will be part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. And it says, the fearful and the unbelieving who have not the courage to face the difficulties with an open profession of what? Well, we're supposed to change. Of my religion, and therefore do not overcome. That is how the verse is broken down. That part of that, that was how the verse is broken down. They won't profess Jesus. They refuse to profess God. They want to keep telling everybody he doesn't exist. I'm sorry. They want to keep telling everybody he doesn't exist. They want to keep telling everybody, don't worry about it. They want to keep telling everybody what? They said, talked about it. Israel said, give us a sign. He sign after sign after sign. He keeps saying, give us a... Well, guess what? That's a sign. That'll be a sign. You know, you always try to imagine the when he comes in the sky and they blow the horn and it's time and it says the dead will rise first. And then Paul says, and those of us who are alive with the twinkling of an eye, and you know, I'm standing there and I'm standing there and Sister Tracy is going up. And I'm trying to jump, thinking I'm supposed to be going with her. That means I did something that I wasn't supposed to be doing. I wasn't following Christ. I was telling people I was following Christ, but I wasn't following Christ. So I told her, I'm going to grab her feet. I don't know what she's going to change into, but I'm reaching for some feet. But that's all I'm trying to say. They want to believe anything they want to believe. They just don't want to believe the Bible. We were talking about it this morning. I told you, when I was taking everybody to John 21 and 21 and 23 or 24, when he says, I'm the one that wrote this. Remember, John was there when Jesus was there. He was with him for the whole 3 years. He saw everything he did some stuff himself, lasted longer than anybody, lived to be an old man. He wrote it. He wrote this. He wrote Revelation. He was there. How can you not believe that? So, the man that wrote that part was there the whole time. Remember, I was talking to him this morning. I said, what? At the end of that thing, when he was up on the cross, it was what? Son, mother, son. He was talking to John. John got to write it all down. He said, I was there. I saw it all. I can testify. This is his testimony. But they say they don't want to believe. And that's what they said. Those who are fearful and they won't profess the Lord. Okay. All right, I'm almost done. Hebrews 10:26, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. Now imagine if you just no longer accept the truth. You have nothing. You have nothing. If we mess up and we decide that we want to turn away from Christ, that's what it's telling us. Well, that's the time it was telling Hebrews. That once you accept Christ, if you want to turn back to Judaism, then you got nothing else coming. But it's telling us the same thing. You got the knowledge and the God's giving you all the blessing. If you turn away from it, there's no other sacrifice coming. We're trying to tell them there is no other sacrifice coming. Come to Christ now. It's not hard. All you do is you profess and then you believe, or you believe and then you profess and then you repent and you want to follow Christ, and then you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And I think I already got that written out. Okay, hold on. I jumped ahead of myself. You hear and then you believe and then you repent and then you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then we'll baptize you and you'll put on Christ, and guess what? You're good. You got to do some stuff he tells you to do, but he is not telling you to stand out in front of a car, and he surely ain't telling you to stand out in a lake of fire. He's not even telling you to put your hand on a grill. That was just my little sick mind. I thought it would be funny. But he's not telling you to do all that. All he's telling you, once you believe in him, is to tell the next person, I believe in Jesus, why don't you believe in Jesus? You don't even have to be confrontational about it. You just say, I believe in Christ. I'm happy. I got something coming. You don't go to him and tell him, I'm in Christ, and I got something coming, and you're going to hell. Because that's not going to work. More than likely, that's going to look back and tell you, I can't, because I told you I get like kind of lost in that word. So. But they'll tell you, you go in there, you can go there too. And you tell them, no, I'm not. I'm a member of the body of Christ. But somehow we got to get it through to them. I don't know how much time we got. But, we just keep working on getting it through to them. And just keep on. It's not a hard thing to do. We didn't know, hey, we don't have to come in here and every Sunday lift pews up. There's no weight room, which is good. There's no weight room because I can't lift weights. It doesn't require you to run around the block 16 times. You just come in and pick up your Bible and you go home and you read your Bible. And when you see somebody, say, you ought to be a member of the body of Christ. You ought to be a member of the body of Christ. It even kind of flows from your mouth. So what you need to do like I said, you need to take advantage of Christ dying for you on the cross. He died for you on the cross. He died for not only those of us in here, but he died for everybody on the cross. Everybody needs to take advantage of it. That's all we're saying. Take advantage of it. Oh. So that's the hear, believe, repent, confess. We'll baptize you. You'll become a member of the body of Christ. Your sins will be washed away. We'll be there with you along the way. It'll help strengthen you. You'll strengthen us. When I get crazy, you calm me down, and I'll keep walking right in Christ. And I'll try to keep you walking right in Christ. And that's how it works. That's all it is to it. I'm being playful a little while ago, but there's nothing strenuous about it. It's just come to Christ. Don't find out there's a lake of fire when you're right in the middle of it. And if you wait too long, and you probably don't think that, you'll be right in the middle of it. And I'm sorry if you like some of us old folks and you don't think you're going to make it a little bit longer. You dying doesn't get you out of the lake of fire. If I read what I read correctly, it says, the dead, the sea shall give up its dead, and death, everything is going to give it up so that we can go to God and he can say, what did you do? We can't even fathom how that works because there's a bunch of us. But remember, he's God. He's eternal. He can sit there for however many eons you want to talking to you personally. So you can sit there and try to get him to believe you did your best when you didn't do nothing. And I know me. Look, God, I did this. But you got to understand. See, you can do all that. I don't know if you get to do it or not. But if you didn't do it, he's going to know. Don't end up in the lake of fire. Don't end up in the lake of fire. All right, I've given the invitation. We have a song set aside for the invitation. We're going to go ahead, and I'm going to black this out, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to sing that song. Anyone that has any prayer requests, Brother Carey will take those after the song, and certainly say, come to Christ, come to Christ.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood?